Hey guys, girls, gamers, nerds alike, and those who found this podcast by mistake, welcome to the show.
Here we look at games old and new, from character designs all the way to gameplay. It's all here from dusty cartridges
to broken discs. We take you through all the games that you love growing up with, as well as the games you play today. He's Big Dave.
And he's Glenn.
And he's Adam. Before we get into it, if you like the show, remember to like, comment, and smack that trigger finger on the subscribe button. With that, clean that disc, pick up the controller, hit the power button, and start this week's episode. So, yes, this week we are talking Tomb Raider. Great game. Great game. Do we all agree, guys?
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Like I say, well, back when I first got my PlayStation, it was one of the first games I ever played on there. So.
I think it's like everyone's first game. It was either that, Pandemonium, Gran Turismo, or Grand Theft Auto. Those are like
Crash Bandicoot.
Or Crash Bandicoot, yeah.
Crash
those
Bandicoot.
Are like
your... Or like that... Croc, do you remember Croc?
Oh, Croc? We have to do an episode of Croc.
Yeah, we do,
Croc
actually.
Was great. I'll add that to the list. But yeah, we are talking Tomb Raider, Lara Croft. I'd say that most adventure games now, action adventure games, are built on top of what Tomb Raider brought out, really. I mean, when you look at games such as Uncharted and things like that, they've taken the concept of Tomb Raider and just
They've just used it as a blueprint,
haven't they?
So.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think that's what I've liked about Tomb Raider. It's been a really good game. There's lots of different things, and it does have a lot of fond memories with it, really. Starting off with Tomb Raider 1, as the door opens for the first time, and you've got bats, wolves, and some random dead guy on the floor. What a great way to start a game.
Yeah.
So, Adam, what are your sort of fond memories with Tomb Raider?
Well, the earliest thing I can remember is, because I think it came out in like 1996 or something like that. So I would have only been, I think, like 6 or 7, roughly, around the time it came out. So obviously I was still a child, and it's a very, very difficult game. and it doesn't, I think Dave's mentioned it before as well, like it doesn't spoon feed you the instructions, like on how to do things. Yeah. So as a child, you can't just button mash and go in. So I could never get past the wolf stage.
Right at the start with the wolf.
Yeah. So when the first one came out, I kind of couldn't get past that. So I ended up not playing it because I got annoyed. and it wasn't until Tomb Raider 2. When I was a little bit older, like another year or two older.
Yeah.
And obviously I got into that because you were you had the training stage and you could make the bottle of fart and lock them in the fridge and stuff. So as an 8-year-old, obviously that was very appealing. so it wasn't until after I played that I decided to go back and start playing Tomb Raider 1 again.
Yeah.
And that's when I started to properly fall in love with the game.
Yeah. Dave, what about you? Any fond memories of the game?
Well, yeah. I mean, for myself, Tomb Raider 2 was my introduction to the Tomb Raider series.
Yeah.
It wasn't until later on I went back to Tomb Raider 1. But yeah, I mean, it was a really good game. Like you say, when you first arrive in China and you're at the Great Wall, like in the first one, and then you end up in the cave, and
yeah.
You just got that tiger randomly attacking you, and it's like, what do I do? Because as I'm touching on, it doesn't spoon feed you the answers like modern games do now. Like you usually get to a wall and then it'd say press X or press triangle or whatever.
Tell me about it.
Literally, she'd stand at the wall. And then she'd start doing that brace pose, but it's like, what does this mean?
What are you bracing for?
We already don't understand women. Tell me what you want.
What do you want from me? But they were, like you say, they were very difficult games, really. Like you say, I know. Obviously, like younger viewers, they might look at it now and think it's all just blocks and, you know, squares and things like that. And I mean, obviously, back then it was tank controls as well.
Yeah.
Which obviously you don't really see nowadays, really. But
yeah, exactly. So
I mean, it is one element of why it was so difficult is because of like how difficult it was to control, really. But they were a very good game, and like you say, definitely groundbreaking for the time.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I feel definitely. Like I think for me, like obviously because I was like so young as well, like, it was like the first time I'd ever personally seen anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That type of game, like the graphics were absolutely insane. The gameplay was amazing. So like when you just visually, it was incredible. Like it blew my mind as a child.
Oh yeah, it was. It was like one of the first 3D types of games, wasn't it, to come across on from, I mean, we were used to like 2D side scrollers mostly, like puzzle games like Sonic and level, you know, doing different levels and things like that. 3D really wasn't a big thing until the PlayStation came along, and then you had things like Tomb Raider and stuff like that. And I mean, we can't do an episode on Tomb Raider without talking the design of Lara Croft in general. Let's face it, probably most men at the time were in love with her. They were, from the research I've got, even the developers were receiving letters and things like that saying they wanted to marry Lara Croft. I mean, she was like a collection of ones and zeros, you know. She's not real.
Polygons, triangle.
Exactly. But that was the thing, though. We didn't really have a female character that was the main lead, basically the protagonist in the game or anything like that. You know, it wasn't heard of. And this sort of new character was designed to entice men and women. When you think about it, men, well, they were horny perverts. Let's just put it that way. You know,
sex sells, doesn't it? At the end of the day, it is one of them, yeah. Especially like 90s.
Oh yeah, I mean, like I've said before, you know, Tomb Raider came out at the time of the lads mags, you know, Zoo and things like
she
that.
She was on literally.
She was on. Wasn't she voted like one of FHM's models or something like Women of the Year?
I remember seeing her on like Lucozade adverts, you know, and yeah, things like that. She was doing all the drinks.
Actually, a car advert. I watched the video for it the other week, and she's just walking off in a bikini. And I mean, that's what people because sex does sell, as you said.
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, you've heard the rumors as to why she's got such giant breasts is because apparently it was a slip of the mouse.
I don't believe that
for one second. That person definitely slid that mouse as high as it would go.
He turned it all the way up to 11. He knew what he was doing.
Much like one of the episodes of the podcast we said where he turned that jiggle up to 99, didn't he? But yeah, it was nice to see a female lead a female character who wasn't the damsel in distress, the princess in another castle. She didn't need anybody to come and rescue her. And I think, is it Tomb Raider 4 where the pyramid drops on you at the end of it? Or is that 3? I can't quite remember.
It only goes up to 3, doesn't it? And then it starts on like... Last Revelation and the Chronicles. And
I can't remember what it was. I watched the video for it, and it just shows there's a guy stood in the doorway and this building falls and he's, you know, and she's just like, nah, I don't need you. I could do it myself. And the building falls on her, you know. But I mean, it was great to see that this, you know, she was a character that could entice men along and women as a strong, independent female character, which I suppose with games back then, women didn't have that character to sort of stand behind. So she was quite empowering as well. And I think the guys that, you know, at the studio were probably pretty much ahead of the time and gaming wise. I mean, when you look at it now, games are there to entice everybody. It's not just, let's admit it, that video games was predominantly for males in a way.
Yeah, well, I mean, just touching on that, I mean, obviously with, it was Core Design, wasn't it, who made the original Tomb Raider games. And I mean, I remember seeing a thing ages ago where it's like they had a plan to bring out a new Tomb Raider game literally every year.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen that, but I mean
I was doing the research before, and they literally did that for up until 2003. So from 1996 all the way through to 2003, they released a Tomb Raider game every single year.
And I mean, does imagine, I mean, obviously myself and Aid, we've been through like a gaming course and stuff like that. So I mean, hats off to the, you know, the team, really. I mean, doing that every year.
I mean, especially when they started developing the first Tomb Raider, there was only a team of 25.
Yeah.
I mean, that in itself is, I mean, hats off to them. I mean, they must have put a lot of hours in for that. I mean, the first one had a lot in it. I mean, you guys were saying about when you've played it when you were younger and things like that, and you got eaten or something like that and killed close to the start of the game. I jumped back on it when we decided that we were going to start doing the show to sort of remember how to play it and things like that. I got through the first bit. It took me ages to figure out how to jump and climb and do all sorts of weird stuff, because I think I've become so used now to actually having the instructions to tell me what to do.
Yeah, exactly.
But I got to this one point, I could hear growling. I was like, what the hell is that? And I went to run across a bridge, didn't quite make the bridge and fell off. And it was just a bear. And this bear come out of nowhere and just started attacking me and eating me. And I was just like, well, you know, I'm dead now. I'll give up there.
I mean, really, as well, I don't know why the games, you know, even like from the first game, second game, they were actually quite gory, really, when you think about it. Well, not really gore, but like when you jump off something and like just land at the bottom and just go.
You'd hear the noise, yeah, you'd hear a bones break.
Yeah, you literally hear a bones crack. It's like, Jesus.
I also think Tomb Raider is one of those games that sort of gave me my fear of underwater and the ocean and stuff like that. Because when you're swimming underwater, there's no health bar to tell you that you're running out of oxygen or anything like that. You just sort of like, yep, yep, yep. And then next minute, you just sort of...
I mean, they were crying. I mean, they did, in the later games, they did... they had the what is it, like the quick time kind of events, didn't they? Where
yeah, in the new ones, still very launches, brutal. Yeah, but
yeah.
You
yeah.
say obviously it's just like press X. You got to do this. Keep bashing X. Or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, the games sort of they got better and better and better, didn't they? Sort of 1, 2, 3 going onwards, until the one that nobody really wants to talk about, and that was the Angel of Darkness. just everyone who's watching this video now has just gone. because let's face it, it wasn't fantastic, and that was meant to be the start of a new trilogy as well for the Tomb Raider games.
Funnily enough, that was the year that they also stopped releasing a game every year.
Coincidence. But yeah, I think it went away for a while then, didn't it? I mean, we saw some odd releases, but nothing spectacular. There was no big title release until it relaunched when Square Enix bought the rights to the game. And you had the sort of like the reboot of Tomb Raider as it is. So sort of like your newer one. So what is it? You got Tomb Raider. What was the second one?
Well, you had just before they got onto like the reboot, it was Tomb Raider Legends, wasn't it? Where it was pretty much they were going back to, you know, like what we all loved from the first games.
I don't think I actually played that one. I think I started playing Tomb Raider again. So I played 1, 2, and 3. I think I touched on Last Revelation and I wasn't really feeling it. And I don't think I played it again until around about anniversary, because I remember it came out on the 360. Mm-hmm. It was one of the only games that I actually had at the time, so I played that and then Underworld, and then again, like, they weren't the best for me personally until they did the full reboot with the Rise of the Tomb Raider. That was really, really good.
It was really good.
That made me actually fall back in love with Tomb Raider again.
I really enjoyed the newer titles. I mean, I haven't finished the third and final one so far. I do want to, but there's rumors going around that there's going to be a new one. Because I believe that they're working on a new film as well, because obviously we had the first one, didn't we, which is based on the newer games.
Yeah.
And they're meant to be doing a sequel to that, which, I mean, if it does see the light of day, I'd be happy to go and see that, because I actually enjoyed the reboot movie compared
to... It was really good.
Yeah. I loved the fact that it was very much like a video game.
Yes.
Yeah. It was shot like a video. In fact, I could have swore it was... Some of the footage was taken out of Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Well, it's the bit with the plane... When it's on the waterfall, that is actually in the game. They've taken that shot and they've used it from the game.
I love that. I thought it was ace.
I think she's perfect. I mean, I can't say her name for the life of me. She has got a bit of a weird surname, but I actually think she was fantastic as Lara Croft. She did it really well, and she does look like the newer version in the games. So, I mean, it just shows, you know, that It started off really well, and I think it got so good, but it just sort of lost track. I don't know what made it happen, but I just think, do you reckon that they tried to keep the same formula constantly instead of trying to evolve it?
I think it was just the times, wasn't it? I mean,
yeah.
Obviously Tomb Raider was the blueprint for all like other later games to come, and then obviously the whole industry then got, you know, washed out with all this stuff, didn't it? So people were looking for something new. So, I mean, even though Tomb Raider started it, you know, you've got
I think we've mentioned it before as well. So, like, you know, when the games started to go a little bit shit, that was also around the time when the Angelina Jolie Tomb Raider came out. And they just kind of, like you were just saying, and they just kind of killed it off. Like, they were trying to do too much too quick, and they just thought throwing a big star into the mix like would help.
Yeah, basically one of those ones that tried to milk.
I mean, with them as well, I mean, obviously you had Tomb Raider in the beginning, and then you got like the Uncharted games, which were also excellent, exactly. And it got to the point where obviously they had taken over. Obviously Tomb Raider was in the background there, but now it's starting to get the other way around again. So, like, Uncharted's gone a bit off the rails now, and now Tomb Raider's coming back.
Yeah.
I mean, Uncharted 4 was amazing. I think I've said it in a different podcast.
They're taking elements, aren't they? Obviously, yeah. I know they're by the same company, but it's like they're pushing one forward and then the other one.
I definitely agree. They've changed it back around, and they're bringing it back on track. So they can carry on that formula, like you were saying, for sure. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've got a lot of fond memories of Tomb Raider in general as well. Going back to sort of like you said, like Tomb Raider 2, and we've said that you can lock the butler in the fridge, and you know, the games, they just sort of, it was those when I, what I remember fondly is sort of going to like my dad's on the weekend and stuff like that, and just being sat there with my stepbrother and we were playing it. You know, because that's what we did, you know, as kids. You know, your parents just literally threw a console in front of you, like, yeah, shut up, play that for a bit. You know, you'd sit in the corner and be quiet. And to be fair, I enjoyed those days, because you don't get that now. Like I've said already, you know, you come home from work and you just got to get yourself ready for work the next day. You don't get the chance to sit down and play games and actually enjoy yourself anymore as much.
Oh, you come home from work and you've got to do more work.
More work, yeah.
Oh, you've got a kid to look after.
Being an adult sucks.
And going full circle with that, you would then give that kid a console and tell him to shut up and get in the corner. So you just pass that on.
Ah, the circle of life.
But I mean, what sort of what are some of your fond memories of the game? You know, a particular thing that you remember from the games?
I think I said earlier, like, it was the train. I don't know why I was just obsessed with the training state. I think because I was pretty young when it came out. Just the idea that the butler could fart and you could lock him in the fridge. Honestly, it used to amuse me for just hours and hours and hours, and it's like that's my fun. And I used to like doing the little obstacle course you had to complete as well. I can't even tell you how many times I've completed that obstacle course.
To be honest, for me, it's the same really. I mean, the Croft Manor was always like, I used to love seeing the different like iterations of Croft Manor, like from the first game, then the second one. It's like, what are they going to do this time? It's like, oh, there's a secret room this time that you can open. You've got to do like, say the obstacle course and get back to the room and get in and get all the treasure and stuff. And then the third one, they've got like the Well, they had the quad bike then, didn't they? Like the whole like garden maze was turned into like an arena for a quad bike, yeah. And then like you say, even the later games, like I think one of the newest ones now, like, is it the Shadow of the Tomb Raider?
You go back in time
and play like as Lara as a little girl. Yeah, so this is why she got like a taste for like adventure and shit. Yeah.
To be fair though, that climbing frame is bigger than my house.
I'm fucking disgusted by it. But I mean, it's one of them. I think it was quite clever the way they did it, really. You know, obviously you see Lara's like a little girl and like doing like obviously stuff that she does now, but you know, there's like a kid's version of it, which was quite clever.
Funnily enough though, before that game came out, Uncharted 4 was out, and they did the exact same thing where you go back and see Nathan Drake as a child.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so it's the same premise.
Like we were saying before.
But it works, and it's good. Like,
it's nice to see that how the character has developed, because obviously when you first see Lara, she's obviously well-established, knows what she's doing, she's done it all before and things like that. And that's our first introduction to her. The other games, as they progress and you see her as a child, you know, growing up and things like that, you start to feel for that character, you know, you grow more with them. So you see them, you know, as a kid, you see them as a teenager, you follow the story, you listen to what's going on, and then that character sort of becomes more than just polygons on the screen. They become sort of, you know, familiar to you. And I suppose that's what, you know, especially quite a lot of the older games, and you're going back and playing them, you've grown up with them. They're a part of you, really. They're a part of your childhood and who you've become. I'd say these games have, you know, helped us develop as we've grown as well.
Yeah, well, like we talked about Lara being like strong and independent and stuff, and I genuinely think that shapes like the type of girls that I'm interested in as well. So like my partner at the moment, like the reason why I'm attracted to her is because she is like very independent. She likes to do her own thing.
I thought I was going to say she just whips out some guns and starts shooting. Just starts shooting.
She's like going into caves.
Every Saturday, I'm like, where the fuck has she gone? Like, comes back all covered in scratches and dirt and blood. Like you've been out shooting bears again.
Oh, honey, I killed a T-Rex.
That, to be fair, with like, that was one of the funny things like with Tomb Raider, because it never took itself too seriously, even back in the day. Like, I mean, you'd be fighting T-Rexes, you'd be fighting raptors, you'd be fighting like Atlantean mummies and, you know, zombies and stuff like that. I mean, it never took itself too seriously, but... No.
Especially in the newer ones as well.
Exactly. You're fighting like mythical gods and all.
Ancient civilizations that have been missing for years.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, all you had to do was go down some steps into a cave and you found them. Okay.
Like you say, that was a good thing about them, really. They did tie in the whole, like, you know, realism with, you know,
the whole like fantasy world.
Kind of world. They did tie it in quite well together.
Yeah. I think it was, you know, when they originally developed the game, like I said, I was doing some research in regards to it, and it was originally meant to be a male who had the lead, and it was very much like Indiana Jones. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it was. And when they come in and watch the sort of like the test footage of it, they were like, I smell us getting sued here, you know. Let's change everything about it. So that's where, obviously, when they've introduced Lara Croft instead, and obviously the guy who developed the game, the original guy, I think he's called Toby. I've got his name somewhere. 1 second. I am prepared. Toby Gard, and obviously the one of the things that people have said is that speculation is that the character of Lara Croft was based on his sister. Now, that's a little bit weird for my liking. I'd never want to develop a game and have it based on my sister in any way, shape, or form. It'd be like a Jeremy Kyle special video game. but no, I mean, I don't think the design of the way Lara is today. You know, obviously it's very different to what she was like when we first met her, because I don't think that design would float today. I mean, what do you guys think?
Oh, not a chance, not a chance.
not in the world that we live in. I mean, we are all equal and we should be treated equally. I think she was overly sexualized when she first came out. She was on Billboard.
Yeah, and that's the but that was the problem on it, and you touched on it before, is like, because sex sells,
yeah.
Like that's the route that they went down, and they tried to exploit that and push that.
To be fair, for the time it worked. I mean, it did work. And I mean, she was at the time one of the biggest video game characters.
Yeah.
I mean, competing with Mario, like a fat plumber, and Lara Croft, who would you sooner look at?
Yeah, exactly. No contest,
was it? Well, she was essentially the perfect package, wasn't she?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So,
I'm just trying to go through some of my notes that I've got here. So I saw here that they actually budgeted for 100,000 copies of the game of the first one when it first launched, and it actually went on to sell 7.5 million. And that is just obviously
the marketing works.
Exactly, clearly, you know, just sticking her up there in hot pants and tight top. It definitely worked, didn't it?
That plus the fact that it was actually a quality game.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's that as well.
You're right. The marketing definitely works.
I mean,
the marketers weren't stupid.
They that's how we got introduced to Jordan, Katie Price. She was actually at the E3 launch, was one of the models dressed as Lara Croft.
I only remember that because
he was there.
Man City, I'm a Manchester City fan, and their sponsor at the time was EDOS.
Yeah.
And she turned up, obviously, part of the thing was her turning up as Lara Croft, because EDOS is there.
Yeah, yeah. Because they were, Lara yeah. Croft. I mean, Tomb Raider, it's just one of those games that, again, I can always go back to if I want to, you know, especially the newer ones are, you know, they're nice and easy to grab hold of. And to be fair, they are challenging, but they're not so challenging that you really want to throw your controller out the window. I mean, on the sort of the newer ones, the bit where you're in the river and you're flowing down and you've got to dodge the spikes and stuff like that. I nearly rage quit then because I kept smacking into one spike all the time. so annoying. Well,
to be fair, with the newer games, I mean, I quite like the way they did the newer games, really, because they didn't, from the original games, you had Lara as, like you say, this strong, independent woman thing, and she could already straight away do everything. But in the newer games, they've started her off, not I wouldn't say weaker, but she's
learning.
You're learning. Yeah, she's still doing at a learning curve, and she is scared of things still. I mean, she's going through caves and stuff, and actually terrified of it. You know, and it was quite nice to see that kind of progression.
Yeah. Again, scared me because the boat tips over and you're underwater and
exactly. Ocean. But no, you actually see this fear element to it. I mean, to be fair, in the original games, you'd see, like you say, a fighting a tiger and stuff like that. Yeah. It's just she might as well have been walking through a park. You know, oh no, there's a tiger running at us. All right, let's shoot it.
Yeah, she might be like that, but I wasn't.
Exactly, but in the newer games, they focus more on the real element to it.
Exactly.
She is scared. You know, she is scared of things, and you know, you see, you get more of that connection with her, I suppose.
Yeah, you know, again, makes her feel more human, doesn't it?
More human, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Somebody you can sort of connect to. I mean, I would have loved to seen the look on Lara's face in the original games. If you could have just sort of gone into what we can get today, photo mode, and move the camera around as a lion comes running past, and you just see her face absolutely terrified, just as a random. Whereas she looked cool, calm, and collective, just like, oh yeah, I'll jump, shoot my guns, and you're sat there going,
do a flip, and then.
I mean, what are you expecting in the future? You hoping for something more? You hoping for more games?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'd always get them. I mean, like you say, I got the most recent one, like you say, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, and I enjoyed that. I mean, it's getting to the point now, unfortunately, where it is just a generic game. You know, it's got to that, like, I suppose the magic's gone a little bit. But
yeah.
I'd always get them just because it's something to play. It has lost a little bit of that magic now that, you know.
Well, they do over time, don't they? Especially
exactly, that's games. The thing. It's got to happen, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's like action adventure puzzle games, like, are my favorite type of games. So I'll probably, like Dave said, I'm probably always going to buy it.
I'm always going to buy it. Doesn't mean I'm going to like it.
Exactly. But yeah, I agree with Dave. Like, as much as, like, so I loved the first of the remakes, which was I said it before and I forgot the name of it.
Rise of the Tomb Raider.
That was amazing. Completed it. Totally happy with it. Loved the game. The second one, The Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
No, I think we've got Shadow of the Tomb Raider. It's the newest one. There was one before that, and then it's Shadow of the Tomb Raider, I think.
It was Rise of the Tomb Raider and Shadow on it.
Should we have a look?
I'm looking at it right now. Give me 1 second.
Well, I thought Shadow of the Tomb Raider was the third one.
Just bear with us, folks, while we do some research.
Research on the go. Here we go.
So, right. Oh, no. The 2013 one was just called Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider. Then it's Rise of the
and
Tomb
then it was
Raider,
Rise of the Tomb Raider. Then it was Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
I knew Shadow was the third one. But.
Yeah, so Rise of the Tomb Raider, loved it, completed it, like, absolutely loved everything about it. Shadow of the Tomb Raider, on the other hand, again, loved the first half of the game, but then it just starts to drag, and, like, it just becomes the same old thing over and over again. And I'm going to bring myself to finish the game off because I've just got bored of it towards the end. Like, again, the start of it was amazing. The graphics are amazing. The gameplay was amazing. Loved everything about it. But then it just starts to get boring. It's just the same old shit over and over again. So they've got to do something about that, and they've got to sort it out. Otherwise, they are going to lose the fan base, and people are going to stop buying it. And they're going to have this. They're going to go through the same pattern as what they went through.
Yeah.
With the older games.
Yeah, they've got to do another reboot of the reboot. Yeah.
So, Tomb Raider developers, you heard it here first. We need to go to space on the next Tomb Raider game. But no, I think, you know, if it can pick up the steam again like it did originally, then it'd be great. I have enjoyed the reboot games.
I'd love them to actually reboot and remaster. Sorry, Tomb Raider 1 and 2.
Oh yeah,
I fucking love them.
Like
to
a
remaster
full
them
HD
to,
remake.
Full, yeah.
That'd be
absolutely quality.
That'd be pretty cool, actually. Again, guys, at the developers of Tomb Raider, you heard it here first. We need this. This is what the fans want. Bring us on. Bring us on. We'll work on the show. It's fine. we'll work on making the game. It's fine. You know, we can do the behind the scenes stuff.
What, making Bruce?
Yeah, we could do that. It's fine. As long as our names get in the credits for making a new Tomb Raider game.
And then just be in the background going, starting off jiggle.
Turn that jiggle to 99. I'm calling game over there, guys. If you like the show, please hit that like button, comment, and smash that subscribe button. It really does help the show and also helps our egos grow a bit.
If you guys have any games you think we should look at, then leave them in the comments below. We've probably already played them, but we're always happy to play them again.
If you've enjoyed the show, make sure you check us out on our other podcast, The Northern Dreamers. You can find it wherever you find this show, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Good Pods, and Deezer. For now, I've been Big Dave.
I've been Adam.
And I've been Glenn. See you next time on the next episode of From Dusty Caches to Broken Discs.